Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching, and this really is the idea then of teaching, instructing, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. You know, we've often observed that this is a command from God, and that's why as I go to baptize each of the five individuals this evening, the first words I'll say before we actually immerse them in the water is, in obedience to our Lord's command, and upon your public profession of your faith in him as Savior, I baptize you, and we go on from there. But this really is something that God has commanded us to do. It's something that it's implicit that he has commanded believers to be baptized. But in particular, he has commanded the church. He has commanded us as a congregation of God's people to have services like this, where we afford the opportunity for those who have trusted Christ to testify of that publicly through the ordinance of baptism. And we could actually kind of outline the steps of the Great Commission like this: go, reach, baptize, and teach. And the order is significant. You know, across so-called Christendom, there's a lot of misunderstanding about what baptism really is and what baptism really signifies. And baptism is not something for infants. It can be for young children. But it's something for those who have already been reached with the gospel, those who have already trusted Christ as their Savior from sin. And then they are voluntarily, willingly, as believers in Christ, going through baptism, which the word just means, you know, to immerse, to dunk, to dip, as a testimony of what Jesus has done in their life, as they've died to sin and become alive in Christ through the new birth. So what I want us to do is just talk a little bit about why this is important. You know, it matters to God that you are baptized as a believer. And if it's important to God, then it should be important to us as well. Amen. So the title of the message tonight is Why Baptism Matters. Why baptism matters. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we are thankful. We're thankful for the privilege of meeting together. Thank you for having folks here, some family members, some friends here to support those being baptized, maybe others visiting with us as well. But we're just glad to be able to meet together as your people and rejoice in the salvation of souls and be encouraged by folks who are being obedient to your command. And who are testifying of their faith in you and your changing, your work in their lives. I pray, Father, that during these minutes that we spend in your word, that you'd guide my thoughts and my words, that this would be a challenge, an encouragement, a help to these your people. I pray that it would be an encouragement, especially to those being baptized and to their families. And I pray, Father, that this would be a time spent in your word in which you would be pleased, you would be honored, as we reflect on the reality that it is important to you that believers take this important step of baptism. So we just commit this time to you now, Father. We ask for your blessing on all that we do. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So we live in a day when over one-third of Americans claim that they have been born again. I mean, that's what people who collect statistics say. I don't know the veracity of that or not, but that's what they say. And yet the reality is for many, many, many of those people who claim to have trusted Christ as their Savior, very few of them live any differently than the rest of the world. And that's unfortunate, because God's desire for all who belong to him, for all who have come to him in saving faith, is that our lives would be changed, that our lives would be affected by the reality of Christ living in us, whether the reality of what Christ has done for us in saving us. And, you know, sometimes as lives unfold, it becomes apparent that perhaps they didn't actually trust Christ. Maybe they misunderstood the gospel. Maybe it was just an emotional response. But I am so thankful for every person who has genuinely recognized their need for forgiveness and their need for salvation, and place their faith in the Lord Jesus. And having done so, What God wants to do is help them to grow in their walk with Him. And we want to see in one another's lives change and transformation. And as believers, we ought to have a desire to know Christ better through the Word of God. We should have a growing distaste for our own sinfulness and a greater heart to please the Lord in everything. And there should be a new love for others, especially for other believers. And the Bible suggests these and many other things that indicate the reality of a transformed and transforming life. Now, none of those things cause somebody to be saved. None of those things affect our eternal destiny, but those are the outworkings, that progress of growth that ought to follow someone who has trusted Christ as their Savior. C.H. Spurgeon said this. He says, if you have a faith which never touches your heart, a faith which never causes you to rejoice or mourn, a faith which neither makes you hate sin nor love the Lord Jesus, I charge you, shake off your faith as Paul shook off the viper from his hand, for it is a deadly faith. It is a false faith. Only the living faith, which works upon the heart and influences the desires and the affections, can be the faith of a true believer. And so one of the things that indicate, that's a pretty strong statement, right, by Spurgeon, but one of the things that is an indication that God is at work in changing a person's life and that they have genuinely come to Christ in saving faith is this interest in stepping forward to be baptized. You know, it's just one of the indications that God is doing a work in their life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And so if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, then that should be having an effect on everything about your life. Now, there are times when the flesh rises up and we may resist what God is doing, but God is always at work. And God is always seeking to change and transform us. And I want to take a little time tonight to show us from the book of Acts, you know, how this matter of baptism is one of those things that God says is important for us as believers in Christ to live out and how it fits with the Great Commission. So let me have you turn to Acts chapter 2, page 1530 in the Pew Bibles if you're using those. And we're just going to look at a few verses here in Acts, and we're going to see that in the early church, when people came to faith in Christ, what was the standard practice then was that they would be baptized, just like these folks are going to be baptized here this evening. And in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, this is the conclusion of Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost. And in response to the question from the crowd, they asked, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" At the end of verse 37, Peter answered in Acts 2:38, he said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission, for the forgiveness of sins." Now, Peter wasn't saying that water baptism provides for the forgiveness of sins. It doesn't result in the forgiveness of sins. In fact, in the very next chapter, in chapter 3 and verse 19, Peter says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out." He doesn't talk about baptism at all. Our sins are forgiven by faith in Jesus. Just faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ. But one of the things that should follow from that is a desire to be baptized. And as we work here through some of these passages in Acts, you'll see that there's a connection. People believe, and then they're baptized. They believe, and they're baptized. And you're going to see that consistent order. Acts 2:41, I'll just put some of these on the screen for you. It says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized." Okay, they received the word of God. They believed the word of God. And they were saved. And then they were baptized. Acts 8 and verse 12, it says, "When they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ." When they believed, when they had already believed, then they were baptized, both men and women. In Acts chapter 8, talking about the Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, as we often refer to him, it says, "As they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Why couldn't I be baptized?' And Philip says this. He says, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And that passage goes on, and the eunuch answers and says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. But first it was this matter of coming to faith, then being baptized. Let me have you turn to Acts chapter 16. So just a few pages over from where we were in Acts 2. This is page 1558, if you're using the Pew Bible. Acts chapter 16. And this is the passage that recounts Paul's experience with the Philippian jailer and his family. And in Acts chapter 16, if you look at down at verse 30, it says, and after, the idea is he brought them out, after the jailer brought them out, Paul and Silas, he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And thy house. And the idea of that is, you know, and everyone in your household, in your family, younger, older, if they will likewise believe, they too can be saved. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house, they all heard the gospel. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And he was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. But there again, the picture is they believed. They heard the gospel. They embraced the truth. They believed. They called out for salvation. And then, when Christ had done that work in their heart, then they were baptized. You know, advocates of infant baptism sometimes use this passage to support that idea. They say, well, the jailer probably had babies in his house, and it says that they were all baptized. But that really is an argument from something that the Scripture doesn't say. Argument from silence, they would call that. Because what it does say is that the gospel was preached to all those that were in his house and that they believed. And then all of his house was baptized. You know, it's a wonderful thing to see every member of a family baptized. But that doesn't always the way it works. Sometimes it's one and then another. Children, they're younger ones along the way. But the important thing is this, folks. Every person who has heard the gospel and trusted Jesus for forgiveness and as their Savior from sin, as a believer, then they should choose to be baptized. You don't have to wait for your husband or wife. You don't have to wait for your parents, for your siblings. You know, God calls us to respond, each one individually, as a believer, and being willing to go forward and be baptized. In Acts chapter 18 and verse 8, we're told about Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, and we're told that he believed on the Lord with all his house. Again, everybody in his family heard that good news, and they believed it. And many of the Corinthians hearing believed, and after having believed then, they were baptized. Now, I've had us walk through these various references, and there are others just in the book of Acts. There are other texts as well. But to show that there was a clear pattern on the part of those who responded to the preaching of the gospel in the early church there, in the book of Acts, in the first generation of the church. And namely, it was this. They believed, and they were baptized. They believed first, and then they were baptized. But we don't find records of, in the New Testament church, being people being believed and never quite getting around to being baptized. The pattern, the connection is there, that this is an appropriate and right and important step for people to take when they have trusted Jesus as their Savior. Now, I want to just tie this together a bit and identify some principles to show why baptism matters. And let me just say this. First of all, baptism is distinct from saving faith. I think we have seen that. There's the matter of belief, and then there's a matter of being baptized. In baptism, a person confesses his or her faith in Christ. One of the things we'll do tonight is, amongst those who are being baptized, some may want to share their testimony of how Christ brought them to himself. But all of them, either they'll share it or I'll ask them, have you trusted Jesus as your Savior? Has Jesus forgiven your sins? Do you have new life in Christ? And I'll ask him, you know, do you want to go forward and follow Jesus? Is that why you're wanting to be baptized? Because I want you to hear from their lips, even if you're only 5 years old, you know, that this is something that I want to do because I have trusted Christ as my Savior. But there's a distinction. Baptism doesn't make you saved. It's something that follows after saving faith. Saving faith, that's your personal response to what Christ has done for you. It's believing, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, that Christ died for your sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. It's believing that you can't do anything to save your faith, to save yourself. The Bible says that we're saved not by the works of righteousness that we have done, but according to God's mercy. We're saved by God's grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. Salvation is a gift of God. And it's believing that God has promised the gift of life to all who acknowledge that they are sinners in need of a Savior. We read Acts 16:31 earlier, and it says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Believe that when Jesus went to the cross, he did so to pay the penalty for your sin. Believe that when Jesus went to the cross, it wasn't for any sins that he had committed, because he is the sinless Son of God, but it was to pay a sin debt that we owe, so that we might receive his righteousness, and he might bear our sin and suffer that penalty that we deserve. And so saving faith is an acknowledgement of those truths, an embracing of those truths, a placing of your trust in Jesus and Jesus alone. Then baptism is just an outward expression of the inward reality of saving faith. It's just a way to testify of what God has already done. I wear a wedding ring because I am married. If I take my wedding ring off, which I'm not even sure I can do anymore, but that wouldn't make me unmarried. And we could have gotten married and not exchange rings. I mean, and we would still have been married. You know, the wedding ring is a symbol. It's a testimony. It's an announcement that I am married. So I want people to see that. I want people to know that. I want them to know that I belong to somebody and somebody belongs to me. And baptism is kind of like that. It's letting others know that I belong to Jesus, and in a sense, he belongs to me. I've embraced him. I've turned to him. I've trusted him. I want to follow him. You know, baptism is a public confession that says, I am now committed to my bridegroom, if you will, the Lord Jesus. You know, folks, it's a good thing to let others know you are saved. Scripture says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. It's a good thing to just let it be known that this is what Christ has done for me. And I'm not ashamed of that. I want people to see it. I want people to hear it. I want people to know it. Baptism is distinct from saving faith, but it's an appropriate outworking of it. Then baptism is the appropriate result of saving faith. In James chapter 2, we read that faith without works is dead. And James's point is just simply to say that if you really have faith in Christ, it's going to affect how you live. It's going to be an active faith. It's going to be a serving faith. It's going to be something that changes your life. You know, now, none of us are going to be perfect in our obedience. You know, and sometimes we struggle along the path of growth. But when God saves us, he gives us a new heart. He gives us new desires. And as we allow the Spirit to work in our hearts, we grow in submission to him. And one of those things means then is we want to obey him when he says, you should be baptized. You should have this testimony before people. And you may wonder, how long should it take for faith to result in that kind of obedience? How much time should elapse between a person trusting Christ and his being baptized? You know, there's no formula for that. There's no hard and fast answer. But the book of Acts suggests that it shouldn't be too long. If you've really trusted Christ as your Savior, that should be an appropriate desire that would follow. In fact, it's commonly one of the first evidences, one of the first indications of faith in Christ. You know, now, maybe you've been saved a long time. Maybe you've been in our church a long time. and you're not actually a member because you've never been baptized. And you know, then there's things that crop up in her mind. Well, what are people going to think? I'll tell you what they're going to think. If you've been in this church for 20 years and not been baptized, and you were to step out tonight and say, you know what, I should have been baptized long ago, but I'm ready now. I'm going to tell you what people are going to think. They're going to think, praise the Lord. You know, that's a great thing. That's an exciting thing. That's an important step. You know, we're here among friends. We're here to encourage each other. We're here to challenge each other. So if you have trusted Jesus as your Savior, I want to encourage you. However long it's been, you know, it's not too soon for you to step up and say, you know what, I want people to know. I want to be baptized. You know, and I would suggest you, if the Lord's kind of putting that on your heart, I know how the flesh works, okay? You know, there's that moment when you feel like this is what I should do. And if you don't do it when God's tugging at your heart, you know, then give it a few hours and the flesh will be saying, it's not that big of a deal. You really don't need to do that, you know. People are going to wonder, you know, and there's something to be said for just responding with an act of faith, with a step forward as God puts something upon your heart and kind of hemming yourself in so you can't talk yourself out of it, so you can go forward and do what you know you should do. Do what you want to do. Baptism is distinct from saving faith. It is the appropriate result of saving faith. And then thirdly, baptism is a matter of obedience to Christ. You know what? Jesus himself submitted to baptism. Now, Jesus didn't have anything to repent of. Jesus didn't need to have any marks of, you know, the washing away of sin in his life or, you know, whatever kind of symbolism. What he did was he said, you know, I'm going to be baptized along with these lost sinners who are out here in the Jordan River being baptized, because Jesus was not ashamed to identify with us. You know, should we really be ashamed to identify with him? Now, there's the imagery of Christ in the church, the Jesus the bridegroom, we as the church, as God's people, the bride. And imagine this. Imagine that there's a young couple and they are engaged and they are planning to be married. And that bride looks at her groom and says, you know, I don't really want to have a wedding ceremony because I don't want people to see me associated with you, you know. Not a very good formula for a successful marriage, I don't think. Okay? And yet there's a sense in which there are people who are part of the bride of Christ who are skittish about having other people know that they belong to him. It's inconsistent with what our heartbeat ought to be as believers in the Lord Jesus. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him also will I deny before my Father which is in heaven." You know, that's a hard passage. You know, and the implications, you know, are puzzling maybe, but it's what Jesus said. And we can certainly take it as an admonition that if I belong to Christ, I ought be glad to let other people know, to tell others about him. Jesus also said in John 14, 23, "If a man love me, he will keep my words. He'll keep my commandments." And Jesus tells us that we ought to be baptized as believers. So just to kind of go back to where we began, you know, this is something that is important. Baptism really does matter. And in terms of God's desires, it's not optional. I mean, yes, we all make choices. But God puts it out there in his word. And God makes it clear to us that as believers, we should be baptized. And I always say to those who are taking this step, you know, that on the one hand, it is a simple step. On the other hand, you know, the human heart has its ups and downs and its struggles. And I'm always excited for people who are willing to take that step. I'm always encouraged. You know, I tell folks that, you know, we're a staid, old, conservative, quiet, northern church, okay? Pastor Micah throws out an amen every once in a while, and people look around and go, what's going on there, right? You know, we're a pretty low-key church. But what's going to happen tonight? It happens every time. Five times tonight, a whole bunch of you are going to say amen. And you're going to say amen louder than you probably ever do when I am preaching, okay? You know, because there's just something in the heart of believers as we see other people taking this step that's encouraging, that's uplifting, that's helpful. So if you're reticent about it, if you're shy about it, I'll tell you what, you'll get the best amens ever. You know, if you'll take the step of being baptized. That's not the reason we do it, but I just want to say that, you know, we're here to encourage one another and help one another about that. Some realities. Baptism matters in your relationship with God. It doesn't make you saved. It doesn't keep you saved. It doesn't win you God's approval and earn you some sort of points with Him. You know, but it does strengthen the bonds of fellowship with Him. And it does, you know, turn your attention to Him and in ways that we can't fully understand, you know, give you a sense of greater closeness to Him. And I would say that often it's kind of a springboard for someone to really begin to take now bigger and greater steps of growth even going forward from there. So it is important. It's helpful. You know, I have never run a marathon. There was actually a day when I used to be a young, skinny kid. And I would have been in good enough condition to do so, but I never signed up for one. I never started the race. I never took a single step in a marathon. And so, obviously, I never finished a marathon. But you know what? If you want to say, I want to follow the Lord, you know, I want to be a real fervent disciple for Jesus, one of the first steps you need to take is to be baptized. You know, you'll never be on that path the way God wants you to be if you refuse to obey Him in this very, very foundational step. So baptism matters in your relationship with God. Baptism matters to the church. I've talked about that. It's an encouragement. You know, Sunday nights, we usually don't have this many people here. I'm thankful for the visitors. I'm thankful for our folks being here. And it's because we all understand it's an encouraging thing. And we want to encourage those being baptized. But truth be told, I mean, one of my favorite things to do is baptize people. You know, it's not a big deal or whatever, but boy, it encourages me, you know, as a pastor. And it lifts my spirit and stirs my heart. And I think it does for God's people in general. And so it's something that matters to God's people, to the church. Baptism matters to those outside the church. It matters to the lost. You know, Zach was playing this medley about rivers or whatever, and on a couple instances throughout my life, I've actually been a part of baptisms of somebody in a river, you know, or in a pond. And, you know, when you do that, especially if it's in kind of a public place, you know, there's a lot of gawkers and curiosity seekers, right? And what's going on over here? People want to see what's going on, and it can be a testimony. You know, you may be here tonight, and you may have never set foot before in a Baptist church. This might be kind of a foreign place to you. You might never have heard an explanation of the gospel the way I've tried to put it forth tonight, that salvation is by faith, not by works. You know, and yet you're here because of this person, this friend, this family member who's being baptized. And it's going to be a testimony to you as someone who maybe has not to this point trusted Christ as your Savior. I hope you do it tonight. But I'm glad you're here. And I'm glad for the folks who are willing to say, you know what, I want my friends, I want my family, I want my church, I want my neighbors. I want them to know what Jesus has done for me, with the hope that that might influence others who need that same relationship with Jesus to come to Him in saving faith. And so baptism matters regarding your relationship with God, regarding God's people, regarding family, friends who maybe don't know the Lord. And baptism should matter to you. So if you have trusted Jesus as your Savior and have not been baptized scripturally by immersion as a believer, you know, I just want to appeal to you. Step out tonight, maybe during our moments of invitation, come up to Pastor Micah or Rachel or myself or one of our deacons and just let someone know, you know what, I know Christ is my Savior, but I've not been baptized, and I need to be. I want to be. I see that this is something that should be important to me. And we'll all say amen, and we will cheer for you. And, you know, we won't baptize you tonight. We'll have you do a Bible study with somebody and go forward from there. But, you know, that's an exciting prospect. And even if you're not a part of this church, you know, we would love to minister to you and be a help to you if you have questions about baptism, questions about salvation, questions about the Lord Jesus Christ. Baptism is something that God intends for every believer in Christ. And it is a big deal. And it is the right thing to do. Baptism matters. So in just a moment here, our musicians are going to come and they're going to play an appropriate song, an invitation song. And it's an opportunity just for you to talk to the Lord. And if there's something that God has put on your heart, you talk to him. If there's something, we can pray with you. We can pray for you. We can be of help to you. Pastor Michael will be here. Just let him know. We would love to minister to you. Those who are being baptized, and myself, we're gonna slip out and go get ready for baptism and come back in a few minutes and have that exciting time. But for those who are here in the auditorium, let me just encourage you. You know, you talk to the Lord. And if the Lord has prompted you about something about salvation, something about being baptized, you know, what a great thing it would be, you know, to make a decision for Christ, even tonight. Our Father, we are thankful for the Word of God. We're thankful for baptism, and admittedly, we don't know what all brought about you bringing baptism into the steps that you want your people to take, but your Word is clear about it. And there is something about it that just is a help to people in their walk with you. And I pray, Father, that as we have these five believing individuals tonight who are being baptized, I pray that you would encourage them, that it would be an exciting moment for them, that it would be a great step of growth. And I pray for any here under the sound of my voice, maybe some at home listening on live stream or listening to this in a recording somewhere down the road. If there are any who have not trusted Jesus as their Savior, I pray that they would turn to him in saving faith even in this moment. And for any who need to be baptized, that they would just humble themselves and make that important decision to go forward. Bless now in this time of invitation. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.